Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Hope you had a wonderful Lord's Day this past Lord's Day. I know we did. We've been continuing in our study in Hebrews. We just finished Hebrews chapter 11. Spent a lot of time there in Hebrews chapter 11 in expository preaching, looking at all the names and all the characters that are mentioned there and what specifically the apostle was referring to when he referred to them and their faith. And so it took a while to go back and to look at all the ones that were mentioned, Abel and Abraham and Noah and Moses and so on and so forth, all the way down towards the closing verses of the chapter where we see people like Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and others that are mentioned in that passage as well. Well, we finished up there at the very end of it, where it looks at the family of faith, the whole family of faith, together being made perfect in the closing verses. And then we just started to go into chapter 12, which talks about that great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us and how then we should press on in the race, a call to perseverance of the saints, looking at because of those that are surrounding us, but ultimately looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's where we were this past Lord's Day, enjoyed a great time of fellowship together with the people of God. And I hope that was your experience as well. If you're looking for a place that studies the Word of God in an expository manner, certainly would love to invite you to come on out and visit with us there at the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship out in Traveler's Rest. You can shoot me an email, kttradio@gmail.com. I'll be happy to give you directions on coming out to worship along with us. On the program today, I want to talk about a program that has been developed that I think is so important in our day and age. A program, primarily we're going to focus today on the program that's been developed for boys, but there's also one for girls as well. I'm referring to Trail Life USA, and I saw an article that said this. It came out of Wichita Falls. It said Trail Life USA comes to Wichita Falls. It actually has a video associated with it. And in there, it just talks about how that this program has come into the area, and it talks about the parents' expectations for what they're hoping to see the program do in the life of not only the boys that they're going to be working with, but also in the lives of the families themselves and in the lives of the church. It's actually a program that is associated with the church as well. And so I just thought that this is such a great topic for us to talk about. As school is starting up again and various activities, parents are looking at various activities for their children, I thought it would be good for us on the program today to talk about this one, because it is Christ-centered and it is associated with the church. It's a parachurch organization, so they're coming alongside the church in order to help the church in the discipleship of our young people. Specifically today we'll talk about the boys, but helping us to disciple them. Bob Clayton is joining me in the studio today. He's a trail master with Trail Life, and their website is www.traillifeusa.com. And so you can go out there to find out more. And they actually have a locator on there, so you can find where different troops are in the area. But Bob is the trail master over at Devinger Road Presbyterian Church, and he's involved in Trail Life. And I asked him to come into the studio to speak to us a little bit about what trail life is all about. He's the troop master of Troop 41. Their tagline that goes along with that is a call to walk worthy, and that comes from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I think I said that right. Bob, thank you for coming into the studio today to talk about this important issue.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity to share one of my passions and one of my, I feel actually a calling by the Lord to serve young men so that as they grow up, they can become good fathers, good husbands, and good leaders of our country and in churches.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend a long time on this, but just a little bit of just setting the stage. I think people in our listening audience are well aware of the fact that our young people today are in desperate need of good, godly role models. But I just wanted to, just set the stage a little bit as to the environment in which this is being formed. We see the breakdown of the family. Oftentimes, the fathers, for whatever reason, are MIA in their responsibilities. And we have a vested interest in the church of seeing young men developed into good, godly citizens here in the United States and good, godly leaders in our churches. Just speak to that issue a little bit about the environment in which this is being formed.
Right. I've been privileged to be in a public school, Paris Mountain Elementary School, through the Good News Clubs, and it really breaks my heart to hear the stories of some of these children, of the home life that they have and lack of leadership of their fathers, and many times absentee fathers, and sometimes mothers, and all the different things that are happening to their families, and it breaks my heart. And over the years, I've been involved with the Boy Scouts, and it was a great opportunity for me from age 11 till this past year to really minister to young men and watch them grow up. And I was a scoutmaster for 17 years in the Boy Scouts, and it was really a joy to watch young men grow. And it was particularly pleasing to me that the one person that replaced me was one of my Eagle Scouts that grew up with my son, and he became the scoutmaster of the troop. And it just I just love watching young men grow up and encouraging them to go hiking and swimming and backpacking and water skiing and all the different activities. And this provides an opportunity for us to really minister to their spiritual needs. And it's just exciting to see programs like this develop. And Trail Life USA came about in this past year where they saw the need for a Christian, Christ-based program for young men.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they did, and seems like the program is fully developed and ready to go, and troops are forming, and the organization is growing, and so forth. And I think that's such an important thing. As you pointed out, the idea of seeing that when we invest time in these young people to see the fruit of it, where they then grow up to be good, godly young men in our churches and in our homes and in society and doing mission projects and so forth and service projects around the community. It's just such a necessary item and such a positive thing that I think it deserves our focus here on the program and also our investment as well as the people that are concerned about it. Let me ask you, I should tell the listening audience too, when I pulled up here to the station, Bob was here, and he has a van out there with a canoe on the top of the van, and I thought, now this is going to be a great interview. So I just love that whole image. I'm going to snap a picture of it, put it out on my Facebook page before the day is over. But Bob, let's talk about some of the core values then of Trail Life USA. I've got a list of them here in my hands, and very top of on the page it says this: Christ-centered. Speak to us a little bit about that.
Well, as believers, we're called to be Christ-like, put on the mind of Christ, to dress ourselves as he would walk through this world. And we really feel that that should be the theme for all Christians, and especially young men, to be the kind of leader of their home. Mm-hmm. And Christ gave such a great example, and I think this would be a far different world if every family knew that they had a father that was willing to die for them, was willing to give their life completely. We'd have a far different world. And that's sort of my theme, and we really need to walk as Christ walked. And this program gives me the opportunity to do that. Over the years, I felt limited a little bit. But now with this program being Christ-centered, it gives me freedom to really share my heart and share my calling.
Mm. It says right here in that under that heading, this program is unapologetically Christian. And I love that right up front. And it's designed, and this leads into the second one, but it says that it is church-owned and operated. So it really is a parachurch ministry coming alongside the church. The church, of course, has the primary responsibility, and in the home has the primary responsibility of discipling the young people. The church then has obviously a vested interest in assisting the parents in doing that as well.
Right.
And they also have a divine mandate to do that. But there are parachurch organizations that come alongside to assist the church in that role. That's what this is, right?
That's absolutely correct. And Devin Giraud really decided this past year that they wanted to have a group like Trail Life and American Heritage Girls to really be a focus for them, to help them to really minister to the needs of the community, to minister to the needs of their church, and to be really an outreach, to reach out to young people so that they can really grow and know the Lord and have fun along the way and learn a lot of good skills and make a lot of good friends and really develop a Christ-centered organization that really serves the Lord.
Mm. When we talk about those skills, I refer to them a lot of time as life skills.
Mm-hmm.
We find that there's a real poverty of those things in our society today among young men in our society. I came out of we do a program over at Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility. We have our evening service over there each Sunday night. And I came out one Sunday night, and there was one of the women that had been visiting there had a flat tire. So she had called somebody in her family. I don't know who he was exactly, but a pretty good size young man had come there in order to change the tire. And so I walked by to see if I could be of any assistance. And I just noticed that he was jacking away there on the jack and lifting it up, but the tire was still on the ground, and he was kind of poking at the tire with the tire iron. You know, he was just.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at what he was doing, and I said, "I don't mean to butt in, but you don't have the jack in the right spot."
Sure.
As he was jacking it up, he was putting it up. The tire was remaining on the car, and just the car was going up, but the tire was still down.
Right.
So I said, "You need to move that jack over to where the jack stand is supposed to go when you jack it up, and then that poking that you're doing there is designed to pop that tire iron off and then loosen up those lug nuts." And I said, "You know, let me give you a hand in doing this type of thing." But it just struck me that, you know, something that was very common skills about changing a tire is the epitome of that, you know, that a young man should have these skills. These things, there's a real vacuum in our society today for these real hands-on vocational life skills that people have. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. And it's, as you said, jacking up a car is not only you have to jack in the right place, but you got to make sure that it doesn't slip off the jack, and you know, it could be really life-threatening if it's not done correctly. And and we really need to teach our young people the skills, and teach our daughters. I know my daughter changes the oil once in a while when she had to, and so. But life skills are important, and that We not only teach camping and cooking in the outdoors, and it was interesting when I first got married, I was a better cook than my wife, but now she far outshines me. But, you know, it's just interesting how things go like that. And life skills. I just got an email from a scout who's worked for a chemical company, and he just did a very complex project and for his company and got a lot of accolades for it. And I just said, boy, that's another Eagle project that he's completed, you know, that he's just had those skills to do that kind of project. And it's also it helps people skills, too, because boys in general aren't great communicators, mm-hmm. and I'm still working at that, but teaching them how to lead. And I had one young man that was a little ADD, and he became the senior patrol leader, and he got through the year as the senior patrol leader, and then he went off to college and had a 4.0 average, I believe, and was just amazing what he did. But he learned how to control his attention. That he learned how to focus well enough to complete. And those are kinds of things that, and if you teach them at a young enough age, they can overcome some of their shortcomings.
Right. There is a certain level of satisfaction that comes from completing a project,
right.
of looking at the project and deciding what needs to be done, and then actually going out and sweating and exerting yourself in order to complete the project, and then standing back and saying, this project has been done, and I did that. I did it with my own hands.
Right.
I actually put that together. I think that we have a tremendous opportunity right now,
mm-hmm.
in light of the lack of life skills that are there, for the church now to use life skills and the training of life skills as a vehicle by which we can then, as you were talking, open up dialogue and talking with our young people and leading them in the things of Christ about,
amen.
How to become, especially with our young men, as to be masculine, to be providers and protectors of the home and so forth, and to have those skills to be able to do it. I look at the current state of our young people today, especially our young men, and I'm concerned about if something really drastic actually happened in this nation, would we have the skills still to be able to do something about it, you know, mm-hmm. or would, you know, once the cell phone goes out and the cell towers are down and the electricity is gone, would we even know what to do? Would we last longer than 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know, before we'd be completely lost as to what we should do? Do you have similar concerns?
Oh, absolutely. That it really seems that in our schools and in our community that young people are don't have the correct role models, don't have the skills, as you said, to really face the problems that we're facing. And I share your concern, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that part of the role is not only the church, but the family. We need to teach family skills that really allow the family to be responsible for the education of our children. It's not the school system, whether it's Christian or public or homeschool curriculum. It's the parents' responsibility. And this is the kind of thing that we are trying to get involved with here, is that parent or dads are mentoring their sons and American Heritage girls, that mothers are mentoring their daughters and really showing the important relationship, because we all need role models. And as a Christian, when we are fully trained, we want to be like our teacher. And if our teacher is the Lord, you know, and if a child be just like his parent, then if it's a son, it's like his dad, or if it's a daughter, like his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of things we need to be teaching. And as you said, the other skills of changing the tires and building a fire and learning how to communicate, find directions. You know, what happens when we lose our GPS? You know, can we get there?
Exactly.
You know, we're really lost. And so.
You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says this, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Let me see, down in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as a sign on thy hand, and on, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And it talks about there that this is something we should, our relationship with the Lord, first and foremost. You can't teach what you don't know, so you've got to have your own relationship with the Lord. But then you want to impart that to your children. And how do you impart it? You can impart it with an organized set time of Bible devotion in the home. And that's a very, very good thing that we do that. The family altar that people have talked about for years and so forth, and devotions in the home. But the other way that the scripture talks about us doing that is as we are walking in the way.
Absolutely.
Jay Yant said that book about talking freely and naturally with your children, everyday talk with your children. These types of activities that you're talking about facilitate that.
Right.
Just last night I was sharing with you earlier that my grandson came home and he had gotten a stuffed animal, a wolf. He was on vacation in Gatlinburg, and he came home, he had a wolf, and he said, "Pops, I need to build a doghouse for my wolf." And so we went out to the shed, and within a few minutes, the hammers were flying, and nails were going here and there, and we were cutting a door open and putting a hinge on it, and we're in this time together, and conversations happen during those times, and illustrations happen about having a firm foundation and building upon that, that you can't script these things. I've gotten into conversations with him about the atonement during these moments, which is just, and why the atonement of Christ. I don't know, remember how we did,
sure,
but somewhere in the midst of these types of things, we get talking about spiritual things, and you just can't replace those moments. This organization, Trail Life, and what you're doing as a teaching these types of skills to the fathers and then to the children themselves, they provide for them these types of moments, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're out hiking, and if you're away from your TV and your cell phone and you have no cell phone coverage, you know, it gives you an opportunity to talk and to really not only be with the Lord, but be with those you're with.
Mm.
And it really provides those times, and you're providing the quantity, but also you have the quality.
Mm.
You can't program into just having quality moments. They have to sort of, as you said, come naturally.
Mm.
And you can talk to me about atonement later, but you know, I need some help in there too. But and really, in these opportunities when we're out doing things, it allows the young people to gain some courage, gain some strength, because when you're rappelling and you go off the top of that wall and it's 300 feet down, you know, it takes a little bit of courage. And, you know, I've had the courage, and I'm 67 and or actually going on 67. And it takes me a little bit to get over that wall or a little bit. And so it's but it gives them the opportunity to see they can be strong in those moments of uncertainty, strong in the time when they know where they should go, but how do we get there?
Mm.
You know, and just it gives them an opportunity. And so it really, it's a great program, and we're really excited at Devinger Road to really provide that to the young people. And
Overcoming obstacles, right? I was talking about Hebrews chapter 12, and it talks about running that race and letting go of the sin that does so easily beset us, and not getting entangled in these types of things. And this teaches that to young people, that endurance is important, to stick with something and stick with it to the end. And those are great skills. Let me tell our listening audience that we've been speaking with Bob Clayton. Bob is a trail master at Troop 41, and they meet over at Devinger Road Presbyterian Church. It's part of Trail Life USA. You can go out to their website at traillifeusa.com, and you can find out more information out there. They have a locator out on there, a troop locator, so you can put in your zip code, and then it will tell you if there's a troop forming by you. For the folks here in Greenville, there are a couple of troops already formed, and you can find out about those. September is the month, you know, where you can join in on some of these troops. They're just getting started, and so we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. There is one forming out in Traveler's Rest out there on Tigerville Road, and we'll talk a little bit more about these troops and what they'll learn there when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Every day on the Janet Mefford Show, we take a look at the news of the day, both in the church and in the world, from a distinctly Christ-centered perspective. We talk to the day's biggest newsmakers about the stories and issues you care about and examine everything in light of the Word of God. Best of all, we get perspective on the issues when we hear from the most important person of all, you. So tune in and get ready for a biblical perspective on everything going on in your world. Tune in to the very next Janet Mefford Show.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. Psalm 107. Come to a prayer rally noon, September 11th at the Peace Center, downtown Greenville. Join as we cry out to the Lord for America, our families, our world, and our future. Non-denominational, non-partisan, Thursday, 9/11 at the Peace Center, noon to 1:30. Please pray with us.
North Greenville University presents Truth for a New Generation, September 5th and 6th at First Baptist Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Hear speakers from all across the nation, including Dr. Ben Carson, Eric Metaxas, Johnny Erickson Tata, Josh McDowell, David Barton, and many more. Take advantage of the VIP lunch with Fox News' own Todd Starnes and enjoy great worship led by Charles Billingsley. Tickets are limited, so get yours today at truthforanewgeneration.com. That's truthforanewgeneration.com.
Personal Defense Outfitters here to help you equip, train, and defend. We offer quality handguns, shotguns, and rifles with competitive pricing and a family-friendly atmosphere. We also offer training classes, including CWP with highly trained instructors who make the classes enjoyable and informative. Whether you're looking to equip yourself with a quality firearm or seeking training, come by Personal Defense Outfitter, 12 South Main Street, Traveler's Rest, or call 864-610-2097. That's Personal Defense Outfitter, your home to equip, train, and defend.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We've been talking about life skills, training boys in life skills primarily. Although it's not just an opportunity for boys, there is a organization working with girls as well. American Girls, I think that
American
one's
Heritage Girls.
American Heritage Girls is the title of that one. Today we're focusing more on the boys and talking about Trail Life USA. Their website is traillifeusa.com, and you can go out to that website in order to find out more. It gives you all the information you need to know out there about either starting a troop or joining with a group, and it's got a lot of video associated with it. You can watch the video, and it steps you right through all the needed materials and so forth. There is the earning of badges and those types of things, but basically the concept is training good and godly young men to be leaders, training them in good Christian moral principles in their life, you know, to help them to be good and godly leaders in the home primarily, but then also in the church and in society as well. So it's just a great organization. We're speaking with Bob Clayton, is our guest here today in the studio. He's the trail master himself at Troop 41, where they're called to walk worthy, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. And they meet over at Devinger Road Presbyterian Church. And so that's one right here in the Greenville area if you're looking for a group to join up with. By the way, let me open up the phone lines. If you've got questions or comments about trail life, maybe you've been involved with scouting before it went south there the last couple of years, at least in the leadership. There are a lot of good people Amen. That are involved in the Boy Scouts that were just basically sickened by what was taking place. And but there was a lot of good and godly people that were involved in the actual troops all over the country, and that they are had a lot of good results that took place. Maybe you were raised in the Boy Scouts. I went to the early stages of it myself. I have a couple Eagle Scouts in the church that I pastor that had gone all the way through it. You should read sometime the number of people that are leaders in our society today that are Eagle Scouts, and how many Eagle Scouts go on to be CEOs of companies and leaders in our community and so forth. It's astounding the foundational training that they receive in an organization like this. Is just, it pays dividends all throughout life, believe me. Let me open up the phone lines, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535 if you want to call in with your question or comment about this type of an organization. Specifically, we're talking about Trail Life USA today. And again, their website is traillifeusa.com. Bob, we're making our way through the core values of Trail Life USA. And I wanted to, before we start going down through the list here a little bit more, I just wanted to ask you about the age groups. You know, how young are we talking where children, young people can get involved in this? And how long are they in a program? What age group do they age out, if I can put it that way, of this training?
Okay. We start at kindergarten, and the Woodlands Trail Group goes through fifth grade. We have the Foxes, the Hawks, the Mountain Lions. Then we start a group called the Navigators, which are sixth graders through eighth grade, and they learn skills, basic skills of camping and those kinds of things that they'll need to be in the outdoors. And we go through different ranks, called the recruit, able-bodied trailmen, the ready trailmen. And then we have the adventure group, which is basically the high school. They start out as a journeyman and then go on to Horizon Award. And then finally, the equivalent of the Eagle Scout, the Freedom Award. Mm. And that's and they need to earn that by the age of 18. And then we have a program called Guide On, which is 18 through 25, the college and career, to really teach them how to be leaders. And our goal really is to get them back into the troop and really leading and really developing young leaders. It's neat to have a young person who gets leadership skills and then goes out and becomes, as you said, the CEO or the business leader, because he's led a little business. He's led a little troop. And we had to handle money, and we had to do a camp out, and we had to get here on time and tell people where we're going. And so they learned all the skills they needed to accomplish a project at a young age and had responsibility.
Well, it says here in the core values, too, that this is outdoor-focused. And if you've ever been on an outdoor adventure where somebody didn't know how to lead, you very quickly understand the importance of somebody who knows what they're doing and what they're talking about. It can get kind of hairy out there if you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely. I've seen a young man kick his pack down the trail because he just got so frustrated with backpacking and camping. But he went on and he's done more hiking, and became an Eagle Scout, and it's just exciting to watch them overcome these, as you say, little failures. But here we're failing in an environment where it's a learning experience. You know, people aren't totally depending on it because we have other leaders that are responsible. We have an adult there to pick up when he falls, and so it's
under the outdoor focus here. It says camping, hiking, and other outdoor activities help build deep relationships. deep relationships and provide a special context for leadership, problem solving, conflict resolution, and character building. We also value the outdoor focus of our program as a unique means of helping boys to see and appreciate the wonder, majesty, and grandness of God as reflected in our creation. What an opportunity where we've got so much of a muddied message about what the outdoors are really about, you know, in this radical environmentalism that we see today. And yet there's a proper way to view our environment, a godly way that we learn in the scriptures, and here's an opportunity to be able to do that in the outdoors.
Absolutely. And over the years, I've seen how we've been very poor stewards of the earth that God has given us. And I'm really trying to teach the trailmen to see that, you know, we've got to pick up the mess that has been left to us, but also to see the beauty that can be there. Mm-hmm. And I was on a mountaintop a couple of weeks ago, and you could see 50 miles behind you where you've been, and then the next 80 miles where you're going. Mm-hmm. And then about 5 minutes later, the clouds set in, and you couldn't see it. And, but, you know, there's the trail to get me that next 80 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and just a breathtaking picture of God's creation.
Amen. It says that safety is on the list here, number four, and it's committed to that. A safe program, as safe as possible as they go on these different adventures, right?
Sure, absolutely. And it's the safety for the particular program, but it's also safety for the individual that we're concerned. We see so many cases of abuse and other things that are going on in our society. We want to make sure that that doesn't happen to our boys.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that they're aware of that, you know, they can help prevent it by, you know, fleeing when they see something like this, or, or understanding, you know, that what they need to do, because we can't protect them. You know, we can't put them in a little environment where, you know, they're totally isolated from the world. And so we need to give them the skills to overcome it, but also provide as best environment as we can. And we really take that very seriously.
Number five speaks of courage. And, boy, is that necessary today to step out, to understand what you believe. You say in here the Trail Life USA statement of faith and statement of value, which originates from the Holy Scriptures and the teaching of the church. It's with this cultural pressure in mind that we continue to commit ourselves to these truths found in Scriptures, that we are to fear God and not man, and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. Boy,
wow.
So necessary in our society today. It says that this is also a male-centered adult leadership. Why is that important?
Well, I think in our society, we really confuse the roles of different how the family works, and how that, and I think it's very clear from the Scriptures that we have a Heavenly Father, and that He has built His family His below Him, and that we need to see that it's important to have a proper view of leadership and Christ and His church, and it has always showed, you know, there is a structure that should be there, and we need to be teaching that and to teach young men so they can be the leaders of their home, be the leaders of the business or whatever environment they're in, and to really to honor our wives, our sisters, and the children, women around us, and stuff like that.
There's so much gender confusion
in
our day and age today, where the young people, I think that many of them that express these types of views and are confused about which way to go are that way because the message has been so muddied in our society, especially where they're getting that message from Hollywood and the pop culture around us and these types of things. So the church needs to very clearly not only articulate that message, but model that message. We need to show them what it means to be masculine, what it means to be a godly father and leader in the home and so forth. And so that's such an important aspect, especially in our day and age.
Right. Absolutely. And if you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, you see that she's almost put on a pedestal. She should not be worshipped, but praised for her what she's done and what she's doing and how she's taken care of, and given time for the husband to be off in the gate, you know, working with the men and stuff like that. And Christ's relationship with His church, the bride, and that He worshipped, He died for her.
Mm-hmm.
That's not understood and in our society, and maybe even within our churches to a large degree.
You know, one of the components here is you talk about men being in leadership of this, and the male-centered part of it is there's not a whole lot of camaraderie, even in the church, between men.
Mm-hmm.
The good, godly friendships and working together is because of the nature, again, of our society and where it's at right now. They might have friends on Facebook, you know, they have online friends and virtual friends. But that's an important element, isn't it, in the church for that that male leadership, but also the male camaraderie that comes along with it.
Oh, amen. And I'm very thankful that over the years through the church and through scouting and other things that I've had some friends that male friends that I could call on. You know, they're 800 miles away, but I can call on them to do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've got a friend here in Greenville that I go hiking with, and I can ask them to do anything. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's just important, and we need to have friendship like that.
You know, they got your back, right?
Absolutely.
And you would be happy to be in a foxhole with them at any point.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, I have to watch myself because they may dig in the stick, too, to probe me a little bit, to get me off the dime and get me hiking and get me doing these things. So,
yeah.
You know, it's their love is a little different than my wife's love, in a sense, you
yeah.
know, that
yeah.
they can kick me, you know. And
it's an iron sharpening iron type
well,
of
amen.
Experience,
amen.
Right? And,
exactly.
And when you're sharpening iron, you know, I'm thinking about putting it on a bench grinder or something. getting the burrs off don't always feel so good.
Right.
But to have somebody there who can keep us accountable, and somebody there who is sharpening us in the things of God and encouraging us to keep going and
right.
Willing to go in there with you to keep going, all of that is very important.
And it has, as you mentioned before, the courage to tell you.
Yes.
Because a lot of times we're afraid to say things. Oh, am I politically correct, or am I going to hurt his feelings?
Yeah.
You know, but we need a male that will really, you know, jump in and hold us accountable.
That's right. We probably both, you're in a Presbyterian church, and probably know of Jay Adams and
absolutely.
Competent to counsel.
Oh.
And, you know, the idea there was is that we should be confronting one another,
mm-hmm.
lovingly confronting one another with the truth. And that's not just a pastor parishioner relationship. You know, it's a pastor's responsibility to do it. No, that happens horizontally in the church, where the members of the church are confronting one another. So the guys getting together in a group like this would be confronting one another and challenging one another with the truth. And so that's a very important element here. You talk about it being volunteer-driven. Speak a little bit about that. How do volunteers get involved in this?
Well, volunteers can get at the local level, such as we're going to have a meeting tonight to sign up parents, to tell them what the program is for this year, but also to get volunteers to help us with the treasurer, or help us with the equipment, or help us with any other part of the program we need. And we're also looking for leaders so that we can really do the faith-based part of the program, Walking Worthy and other things. So we need a lot of volunteers to make this program happen, and so that everyone's not burdened. We all have jobs and things that we have to do for our families and whatever place we are in life, but we need to have a good set of volunteers. And I know in scouting I had a lot of good volunteers, but it's really a blessing to see the volunteers in a faith-based, Christ-oriented, because they come with a passion that is exciting and alive.
Amen. Amen. So many people have so many different skills. There's a mosaic in the church, isn't
mm-hmm.
there, of people with different backgrounds and different talents and abilities brought together. It's just remarkable what the Lord does in bringing together a group of people inside of any given church. I like this idea that the program is flexible. It's not a one-size-fits-all. You got to do every single part of this, and if you don't, you know, you can't be part of this program. But it's kind of components that can be plugged in. So if you only have a certain age young people in your church that you may want to have the beginning stage programs, but not the middle one, or maybe not the ending ones that you were talking about, you can do that with this program, right?
That's exactly correct. And that it's not only the program itself, but some groups meet every other week.
Mm-hmm.
Some groups meet every week for an hour. We're meeting for an hour and a half, but you know, it just depends on your organization and what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be done on a Sunday evening if that's, you know, you want to put into a regular church program, quote unquote.
Mm.
You know, so it.
And I wanted to ask you about the shared leadership. Somebody might be listening to this, especially if they're in leadership in the church, or maybe a fellow pastor or something listening to this, and he's going, oh, no, I can't take on this whole thing myself. I mean, what am I going to, how can I do all of this? But that idea of shared leadership, again, gives other people the ability to be in leadership as well, to use the talents and the gifts that the Lord has given them, and then to show other people, teach other people these things. I have in my church, I have some people that are mechanics, that are expert mechanics, and they could teach the basics of auto mechanics or something to young people. I have other people that are involved in firearms, and they could not just guns themselves, but with bow and arrows and mm-hmm. other things associated with that. I have other people that are in the military, and so they could teach different type of survival training right. skills and so forth. So this program is designed to take advantage of those things, right?
Absolutely. And we try to take advantage of the not only the parent skills but the youth skills. We actually want to get youth involved in the leadership mm-hmm. is our real goal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if someone's in the music ministry, we can use that. And I'd really like to add more music into our program in particular.
Mm.
That and plus, too, if you're a pastor and want to bring your children here, you know, we could use you as a chaplain. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can use your life skills that you already have mm-hmm. and use them to our benefit as a mechanic, or, you know, and we've got equipment that needs to be taken care of and repaired. And, mm-hmm. and so the we're really looking to share the responsibility to whatever level you're at and share that with other people.
Mm, excellent. You know, Bob, we've been talking a lot about the idea of the importance of the fathers, but the reality is that we're dealing with a lot of single-parent homes.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a real benefit here for the single parent as well?
Oh, I feel that every young man needs a role model. And my heart goes out to the single moms who are trying to do it on their own, and that we provide an opportunity for the boys to get a role model. And we use the mother to help, you know, her select someone she views as a good role model.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be like almost a grandfather that, you know, watches over her child during the program or takes them on a camping trip. And
mm-hmm.
it may be like big brothers and big sisters, you know, that we've heard so much about over the years. But this is to get them involved in finding a role model that will help them to see that their role model is Christ, and that Christ can be seen mm-hmm. through the mentor, the role model.
Would the single parent, if a mom out there says, you know, I'd love to have my child involved in something like this, I think the mentoring and the discipleship aspect of this is just what he needs. So I'd love to have my boy come and go to this. Would she feel intimidated by coming and there's going to be a bunch of guys there? What is she supposed to do?
She could. And, well, she needs to either take the pastor aside, who's there all the time, Pastor Malfres, or take someone, myself aside. It really should tell us the situation. And we're not going to be broadcasting, you know, what the situation is, but help them to see not only her need, but help her find a role model that she feels comfortable with, as well as the child will.
Mm-hmm. So that they would then be trusting them to provide the leadership from somebody that is, in their eyes, is a trusted individual
right.
in order to take on that extra role. You talk about, too, that youth-centered leadership. You know, we really have done the job when the young person that was being discipled themselves starts to disciple others.
Right.
Again, back to Jay Adams, I remember learning this in one of his classes, but he says, you know, when is a thief no longer a thief? And somebody says, when he's not stealing. And he says, no, he's just in between jobs. A thief is no longer a thief when he is working with his hands in the thing that is good and he is giving to others. And then he asks the question, you know, when is a liar no longer a liar? And they say, well, when he stops telling lies. No, he's just taking a breath, you know. He's no longer a liar when he begins to speak the truth in love to others. So we've
right.
got to see a longer picture
right.
here. And in the same way with discipleship, discipleship is not just that we invest the time into a young person and then we say, okay, our job is done. It's when we see that young person then investing their time into somebody younger than them, right? Then when it's come full circle
right.
and they are doing this in the life, then we say, aha, now we know that we really have have done the work of discipleship in their life, right?
Absolutely. And our program, we're really trying to get the older trail men to go back to the foxes, the kindergartners in this case, or the and help them and really doing the mentoring at a younger age, and so really get them. Mm-hmm. And I really see that. It's really exciting to watch a family, a young person become sort of the mother's helper in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an Eagle Scout who in church a few Sundays ago was holding his little daughter, his little sister, you know, in his arms, and you know, during the service. And you know, mm-hmm. that's the kind of thing we want to see, that you know, they're taking care of others and helping and sharing.
Amen. And then an important piece here is servant leadership. They're encouraged, like our Lord and Master, who, when he was done at supper there, got up and girded himself about with a towel and then went around and washed the feet of his disciples and said, I have left you a pattern here, an example, right, that you should do the same thing. So it should be servant leadership, and that's what you try to instill in these young people.
Absolutely. And your point in Luke, it talks about when the servant is fully trained, he is just like his master.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Christ-likeness is what it's all about.
Right.
And this is a decentralized decision-making program, though, right? We're not talking about there's some council up, you know, in some ivory tower somewhere, and they're demanding all these things to be done. This is really a local level. Individual church makes a lot of the decisions associated with a troop like this, right?
Absolutely. They decide when we meet, how often we meet, the number of campouts we go on, and they are really the leader of that, and that's their role. In fact, one of the things, the national organization is very lean, and that's one of the things that we felt that they didn't want to make sure that they didn't have the big campgrounds or actually camp organizations like the Boy Scouts had, where they had millions of dollars sunk into Philmont or the Summit or Seabase or what all these, because that's one of the issues that in America, money controls a lot of things.
Right. And speaking of money, just a closing question here. Is it very expensive to get this going or get it or to participate in it?
We try to keep the cost down through fundraisers and stuff like that. But the cost of uniforms is something. Getting equipment to go camping, you need pots and pans and stoves and stuff like that. So there is some expense, but at the local level, we look for people to donate this kind of stuff and try to minimize where we can. And we try to want to go on a camp out. Basically, it's the cost of the food or, you know, the campsite fees, and that's it. You know, it's not to make money. Mm-hmm. It's to really to break even on a camp out and to but so the boys can have fun and enjoy it, and that it's not a burden on the parents. And in that particular case, if the parents can't afford it, I know our troop, and I think just about every other troop, you know, they'll be allowed to come. We don't want a boy who wants to come that has a need not come.
Mm-hmm. Bob, thank you so much for joining us today. Let me let you give the websites again, both of the Trail Life itself, the main page, but also your particular group over there at Devinger Road for folks here in the Greenville area that are looking for a troop. And then also let me remind them they can go out and put in their zip code on the main page, and then they can find out where those troops are here locally.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Kevin, for having me. And as you can see, I'm very passionate about trail life, and it's been I feel what the Lord has called me to do, and I really love sharing it, and I really enjoy getting out with the boys and camp and hike and do all the exciting things, but to watch them grow into fine young men. And you can get on the website traillifeusa.com, and you can have videos and see all the program that they're trying to do on the national level, and there's also a store there, but also there's a link to local organizations, and you can see all the troops that have been registered. And for my particular troop, Troop 41, Called to Walk Worthy, we meet at Devinger Road Presbyterian Church at 1200 Devinger Road here in Greer. Mm-hmm. We'll be meeting tonight at 6:30 for parents and interested people to come to see what the program is like and to show them the program for next year. We've got a full calendar
Excellent.
For next year.
Excellent, Bob. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, our time is gone. But remember this, my friend. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make
You're
you free.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.